This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, a weekly link to turfgrass information brought to you by Cornell University's Turfgrass Science Program in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association. This is Volume 16, Issue 3 for April 20th, 2015. A jumpstart to the growing season last week has provided some needed growth for recovery in winter-ravaged areas. Overall, most continue to report widespread but not catastrophic failures from last winter. This week is likely to keep things progressing slowly as temps will become cooler. However, soil temperatures continue to rise into the upper 50s region-wide. Now that soils are starting to warm into the upper 50s into the 60s, it's worth remembering some effective strategies for dealing with summer patch and take-all patch. And on the newsletter, we have a nice inset picture here of the ectotrophic root-infecting fungi growing on the outside of a turfgrass root. These root-infecting fungi cause severe problems during the stress of the growing season when plants rely on their root systems more acutely. However, the infection and potential prevention of these problems is an ongoing process and particularly needed at this time when soil's warm, moisture is available in the root zone, and hosts are available, hosts meaning the plant roots. The traditional control model recommends a full-rate fungicide, DMIs or strobilurins, applied when soil is 65 degrees at 2-inch depth for 5 to 7 days. These products must be applied as a drench application to ensure penetration deep into the root zone as the products only move up in the plant. Additionally, Rutgers research has found a quarter-pound application of ammonium sulfate, ammonium-based fertilizers, cause acidifying effects of the soil that age with control. More recent work at the University of Connecticut found hollowtine cultivation was able to alleviate compaction, also reduce summer patch, as did 2 ounces of manganese sulfate per 1,000 square feet. Many will look to use these early spring drench for sprayery ring and take-all patch also. However, these diseases often require additional applications the previous fall or follow-up apps during the season. Now, the weather for this week and last week, it was a slightly below normal temperature for last week. Of course, the few warm days and evenings helped to keep it from being well below normal. Base 50 growing degree days continue to lag 1 to 2 weeks behind the 15-year average. The base 32 growing degree days indicate that seed head suppression using Proxy and Embark should be occurring now in the New York City metro area and south. Proxy timing is good everywhere but the highest elevations. Soils are in the low 50s in the north and in the mid to upper 50s in the south. Other than a narrow band of intense rainfall, 1 to 3 inches, the region continues to be below normal for the season. Evapotranspiration measured about a half an inch region-wide, suggesting that some drying is underway. The forecast for this coming week, following a nice weekend across the region, expect a return to cool, cloudy, and moist conditions. Some drying and more seasonable temps return by the end of the week, and overall expect below normal temps and normal rainfall for the week. And you can check out all our weather info at our forecast website for the turfgrass industry. Some regional clips from Vicki Wallace at the University of Connecticut. Still very slow greening with very little mowing beyond cleanup, hashtag UConn Turf. From the Capital District, David Chinnery, dwarf Alberta spruce trees in the landscape hit very hard with winter damage this season, hashtag dwarf Alberta spruce damage. And in Westchester County, Jerry Giordano clips winter annual weeds really on the rise in Westchester, henbit and chickweed top the list, hashtag Westchester weeds. And finally, University of Massachusetts weed expert Randy Prostack tweets, the application window for pre-emergence herbicides is open, early down, early gone, hashtag UMass update. So our questions this week, when will crabgrass germinate? With the rapidly warming weather, several are asking, when will crabgrass germinate? The reason this is so important is because pre-emergence herbicides used for the control of crabgrass must be applied prior to emergence. There are several different ways to try and anticipate when crabgrass might germinate. Research says that crabgrass begins to germinate when the average daily soil temperatures reach 57 to 64 degrees Fahrenheit at 1-inch depth, although large quantities of crabgrass seedlings will not start germinating until soil temperatures increase to 73 degrees Fahrenheit or above at a 1-inch depth. The flowering of landscape plants can also be used as a good estimate of when crabgrass might be germinating. Many are aware that forsythia is traditionally considered a good plant to indicate that crabgrass will soon start germinating. Forsythia will be in bloom prior to crabgrass germination, and forsythia flowers will wither near crabgrass germination. Most think that crabgrass germinates when forsythia blooms, but this is false. Instead, turf managers should use forsythia blooms as an encouragement to hurry up and get their pre-emergent applications made before crabgrass begins to germinate. Other plants common in the landscape that bloom before crabgrass germinates include saucer and star magnolia and Bradford calorie pear. The initiation of red bud blooms and sometimes crab apples are also good indication of when crabgrass may germinate. As indicated by Professor Randy Prostek at UMass, the window for application is open now, but if you apply early, control will wane early. Are annual bluegrass weevils on the move? A comment from Professor Pat Vidim at the University of Massachusetts. The annual bluegrass weevils are finally on the move, albeit slowly, in New England. We visited a golf course within 20 miles of Amherst earlier this week and collected vacuum samples from two fairways and two roughs. While we did not notice any weevils on the surface while we were there, we did collect some from both the rough and the fairways. I just finished dissecting those weevils, and good news is that they are a long way from being reproductively mature. And interestingly, 90% of the weevils in the fairway were females, while the weevils in the rough were nearly 50-50. Once the weather begins to warm up, we can assume weevils will begin to mature fairly quickly. Meanwhile, remember that the plant indicator for applying adult treatments is forsythia, half green, half gold. I'm guessing we are at least 10 to 14 days from that at this point, so don't panic yet. Just start getting ready. And finally, another new resource update. Spotlight. A new resource funded by the New York State IPM program is now available for sports turf that provides information not simply for the sports turf manager, but for coaches, administrators, and community members. This website, developed by Joanne Gritadorio with assistance from Frank Rossi, has the latest science-based information available in several formats. You can explore the many practices required to produce safe sports fields, learn about synthetic turf maintenance, and also print out easy-to-use management calendars based on your field use level, sports season, and budget. And you can access this great resource at safesportsfields.cals.cornell.edu. Thank you for joining me for the weekly installment of the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly link to turfgrass information brought to you in partnership between Cornell University's Turfgrass Science Program and the New York State Turfgrass Association. I'm Frank Rossi. I'm the Turf Extension Specialist here at Cornell University, and I hope you have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.